3 weeks ago, I was flying back from Kansas City. I went to the airport and I checked in and started going through the security line. And there's a point where, before you go through the metal detectors, you have to show your boarding pass and your ID to the person sitting at this little desk. And they look at it, they scan it, they write something on it, and they move you along. So I came up and I gave my boarding pass and my ID to the woman sitting there, and she looked at it and saw my name, Patrick Wayne Marshall. And she said, "Patrick Wayne, just like John Wayne's son." And I looked at her and said, "You are exactly right." And then I just started telling her the whole story. I was like, 2 weeks before I was born, my mom had a girl's name picked out, but no boy's name, and she didn't want to go to the hospital without having a boy's name. So one night, she and my dad were watching, like, Circus of the Stars on TV, and the host was John Wayne's son, Patrick Wayne. Well, my mom's dad's middle name was Wayne, and so she thought, "Patrick Wayne, I like that." And that's how I got my name. But I said to this woman, "You are the first person to ever know that without me having to tell them." And she handed my documents back to me and smiled and said, "Have a nice flight, Patrick Wayne." And it felt so good because somebody knew my name. Not just knew what my name was, like plenty of people know that. She knew my name. She got it. It was like she understood me. When we were going through the process of adopting Brandon, he already had a Korean name. Now normally, when babies are being given up for adoption in Korea, this is what we've heard, that the baby will be born and the nurse will just take the baby out of the room immediately, and the nurse will give the baby a name. The birth mothers don't usually name babies that they're not going to be keeping, but in Brandon's case, his birth mother did give him a name. She named him Haesung, which in Korean means holy wisdom. Well, Jen and I heard that, and we were like, we have to keep that name now. Not only did his birth mother give it to him, but which was, you know, really out of the ordinary, but the meaning, holy wisdom, was just so significant to us. So we kept it as his middle name, Brandon Haesung Marshall. It was only later that I found out that Haesung is also the name of South Korea's version of, like, Brad Pitt. So is that, like, right? Like, I've seen that. I've done Google searches, and I've seen that pop up a lot, so I was hoping you or Justine could clarify that for me. It was like, I Google it online, and I see this guy just pops up all over the place, and so then I'm thinking, did his mother name him after holy wisdom? Or did she name him after this very handsome actor and model? Names have meaning to us. Maybe not always in the literal sense. There's a scene in the movie Pulp Fiction where Bruce Willis is in a taxi cab and he's talking with the driver. And she's this beautiful Colombian woman, and he looks at her license up on the dashboard and sees her name and he says, "Esmeralda Villalobos." That's a very pretty name. And she says, "It means Esmeralda of the Wolves." He says, "That's a heck of a name you got there." She says, "Thank you. What's your name?" And he says, "Butch." She says, she's sounding it out. She says, "Butch, what does it mean?" And he says, "I'm American, honey. Our names don't mean anything." There's a little bit of truth to that. My name, Patrick Wayne Marshall, doesn't, like, literally mean anything. Right? But the story has meaning to me. Brandon's name means something. But the story behind it also holds deep meaning for us. Our names have meaning. And a part of understanding us is understanding our names. God's name has meaning. And a part of understanding God is understanding God's name. And so that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. And the reason I've kind of been thinking about this lately, about a month ago, I saw something on Twitter. There's a pastor from Puerto Rico named Carlos Rodriguez who wrote this. "The first person in Scripture to name God is Hagar, a woman, single mother, Egyptian slave. She says, I have seen the one who sees me. God has a way of exalting the vulnerable. So I read that and thought, wow, that's really great. I've never picked up on that before, that Hagar was the first person to name God. I wonder if it's true. Don't just see something on the internet and that's true. Let's ask some questions about this. So I started digging around in my Bible. And the story that he's talking about is in Genesis chapter 16. Abram's wife, Sarai, cannot have children. So she says to Abram, take my servant girl, Hagar. At least she can give you a son as an heir. So she does. She gives Abram a son. But then Sarai gets jealous and sends her away. Hagar runs off into the wilderness and sits down by a spring of water. An angel of the Lord comes to her there, blesses her, and tells her to go back to Abram and Sarai. And then it says, so she named the Lord who spoke to her. You are El Roy. For she said, have I really seen God and remained alive after seeing him? El Roy is Hebrew for God of seeing or God who sees. El means God and Roy is the verb for to see. But here's the thing. Hagar was not actually the first person in Scripture to name God. If we look back at chapter 14, just two chapters earlier, Abram leads an army into battle to rescue his nephew Lot, who's been taken prisoner. Abram wins the battle, and when he does, King Melchizedek of Salem comes out and brings him bread and wine as like a thank you for defeating these neighboring kings who were King Melchizedek's enemies. So Salem, where King Melchizedek reigns, Salem is what they call Jerusalem before the people of Israel lived there. Jerusalem, Salem, so they kind of added on the Jeru. So Melchizedek is the Canaanite king of Jerusalem. He is not Jewish. But he blesses Abram and says to him, blessed be Abram by God Most High, maker of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. So he names God there as God Most High, which in Hebrew is El Elyon. So technically, King Melchizedek is the first person in Scripture to name God. But here's the thing about that. Like I said, King Melchizedek was not Jewish. He didn't know Abram's God. God Most High was the name of a God that the Canaanites worshipped. So Melchizedek is saying, this God who gave you victory in battle, it must be the God that we know as El Elyon, God Most High. So he doesn't actually know God's name. He's just relating Abram's God to a God that he already knows. And Hagar does the same thing. She names God El Roy. But scholars say that El Roy was the name of the God in that region, the God associated with the spring of water where the angel came to her. So Hagar is saying, the God who saved me must be like that God, El Roy. She's relating the God of Israel to another God. But she doesn't actually know God's name. So we can't say that either of these were the first instances of naming God. These were just people trying to understand God, trying to relate God to something that they already knew. But right after this story of Hagar, at the beginning of chapter 17, it says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. When God says God Almighty, it's the Hebrew name El Shaddai, which literally means God of the mountains. The mountains are big and mighty, so this is God of the mountains, God Almighty. This is how the people of Israel referred to God for hundreds of years until the time of Moses. El Shaddai. This is the first time that God is named in Scripture. And God is not given a name by a person. God reveals God's name. It's like, you all are giving me names, trying to relate me to these other gods, but here is who I am. So the people of Israel knew God as El Shaddai, God Almighty, for hundreds of years through the time that they were slaves in Egypt. One day Moses, who was a Hebrew by birth, but he was raised as an Egyptian, so he did not know the God of Israel. He knew of the God of Israel. He had heard about this God from the Hebrew slaves. But Moses encounters God in the form of a burning bush. And God says to Moses, I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. I have heard the cries of my people, and I have come down to deliver them. I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people out of Egypt. And Moses kind of goes back and forth with him on this and says to God, if I come to the Israelites and I say to them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they ask me, well, what's his name? What shall I say to them? I don't even know your name. And God says to Moses, I am who I am. You shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. Now that phrase, I am, is a form of the Hebrew verb hayah, to be. The biblical Hebrew did not use vowels. So all we have are the consonants, YHWH. In Hebrew it's Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh. And the best guess that we have as to what that name sounds like, because we don't actually know for sure, it's been lost over thousands of years. The best guess that we have is, as I shared with the kids, Yahweh. You might be more familiar with the Latin pronunciation of it, Jehovah. It's just substituting some different vowels in there. But again, God reveals God's name to God's people. And what God essentially says is, I transcend all these names and titles that you're trying to give me. I am being itself. There's an old Jewish tradition that the sound of God's name, Yahweh, is the sound of breathing. The name of God is the sound of life itself. Now here's why I think that this is interesting and at all important for us. God is not named or an attempt at naming until the 14th chapter of Genesis when Melchizedek and Abram refer to God Most High. It takes 14 chapters to assign a name to this God. What did people call God before that? How did they talk to God? If you look at Scripture, all up to this point, it had been direct conversation. When people talked to God, it was simply you. If they talked at all. Sometimes they just listened and did what God said. Noah, if you look at Noah's story in Scripture, Noah never says one word to God. God does all the talking. Noah simply listens and does what God says. But when Adam talked to God, it was you. When Cain talked to God, it was you. Direct conversation with God that reflects an intimate, personal relationship. But then people started naming God, giving God titles that describe God. You see, that's the thing. When Melchizedek and Hagar refer to God, they aren't using God's name. They're using titles that describe God, adjectives. It's like if you're really tall. Instead of calling you by your name, someone just calls you Stretch. Or if you have red hair, they just call you Red. I used to know a man named George. And George always called people partner. Everybody was partner. He called me partner a lot of times, and I was his pastor. It was like really folksy and familiar. What I found out was that partner was what George called you when he couldn't remember your name. So it had has the feel of intimacy and friendliness, but it's not really personal, is it? It's just like, hey, you, hey, pal, how you doing? It's kind of like that. There is a sense in which when people started naming God like that, it served to distance them from God. Instead of a direct conversation with God, God became other. I mean, what would our prayer lives look like if instead of, oh Lord God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, God of grace and glory, instead of coming to God with all these titles, what if we simply said, you? It's the difference between talking about God and talking to God. What if instead of having to call on the name of the Lord to invoke the presence of God, we just started talking because we trust that God is right here with us, always? When people started using adjectives to describe and name God, it took away that intimacy and direct knowledge of God. And so, God comes to Moses and says, I am. I transcend description. Don't just know about me. Know me. I think about what this means not just for our relationship with God, but for our relationships with each other, with other people. Twitter's been providing a lot of inspiration lately, if you haven't picked up on this. I'm finding a lot, or it's finding me through that. So a tweet by Pope Francis, where he said this, let us learn to call people by their name, as the Lord does with us, and to give up using adjectives. I'm sitting there reading and thinking, that's exactly what I'm talking about on Sunday. So what's he mean by this? Well, instead of saying, oh, he is liberal or conservative, he's Bill. Instead of, she's Catholic or Jewish or Muslim, she's Miriam. Instead of referring to people as poor or homeless or illegal or special or worse, do we know their names? Because adjectives serve to distance and make people other. Call someone by their name, to be called by your name, is intimate and personal, and it makes it harder to objectify them. Don't just know about them. Know them. God, in the ultimate act of self-disclosure, came to us with the name Jesus. That's the English version of the Hebrew name Yeshua, which means God saves. God came near to us, became one of us, not just so we would know about God, but so that we could know God intimately and personally. We could see in flesh and blood who God is. And that intimate knowledge of God is what saves us. Maybe if we can come near to each other, to those who currently seem distant and other, and not just know about them, but actually know them, call them by name, maybe that, in such a polarized and divided world, maybe that will be what saves us. Let's pray. You have come to us in Jesus Christ so that we can know you, be at one with you, and have that intimate, personal relationship with you. May we have that with each other. May we look at each other, see each other, talk to each other, call each other by name. Strive to know each other as deeply as you know us. We give you thanks for coming to us in Christ, for revealing your name to us in a new way. Help us to see. see how that name is written on others. Help us to remember how that name is written on us. Give you thanks for the ways that you call us by name, so that we might call you by name. It is through Jesus that we do that.